Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Daria Albinger. Donald Trump met with congressional Republicans near Capitol Hill for the first time since the January 6th attack.
We have great unity. We have great common sense. A lot of very smart people in this room and a lot of people that love our country.
They included Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
He got a lot of standing ovations. It was an entirely positive meeting.
The two hadn't spoken since 2021. The G7 nations agreed to a U.S. proposal to back a $50 billion loan to Ukraine using frozen Russian assets. 2 days of torrential rain left up to 2 feet over parts of South Florida. It prompted evacuations and canceled thousands of flights. Federal investigators say a loss of engine power due to poor maintenance caused a 2022 helicopter crash in New Mexico that killed 4 first responders who were returning home from a firefighting mission. This is ABC News. There are new details in the hot tub electrocution fatality of an American at a Mexican resort.
Under policy, Sonora's attorney general only releases the first names and ages of victims and says 43-year-old Jorge was killed and 35-year-old Lizeth was injured. Sources tell ABC News they were a couple on vacation from El Paso. The two American tourists were in a jacuzzi at a Mexican resort when they were electrocuted. Other hotel guests screamed for help and pulled them out, starting CPR on one. The Sonoran attorney general says a forensic analysis is being done to determine the origin of the electrical failure. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Dozens of hikers report getting sick after visiting waterfalls in a gorge next to Grand Canyon National Park. Environmental health officials say they're investigating. Making a splash off the East Coast, scientists say dozens of whales are visiting the waters off New England. That includes a high number of endangered species like the North Atlantic right whale. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of her cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you! Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Another two-year college is closing in Wisconsin. The University of Wisconsin in Oshkosh is closing its Fox Cities campus a year from now. Enrollment has dropped by nearly two-thirds over the past decade. UW System Schools have closed 4 other two-year branch campuses since last year. The First Lady of the United States, Jill Biden, visited Green Bay Thursday, launching the Seniors for Biden-Harris campaign. Democrats are courting elderly voters by highlighting the contrast between their administration and former President Donald Trump's stance on issues important to seniors. Jill Biden says age is not the issue in this election.
But what this election is about, it's about the character of the person leading our country. It's about finishing the job we started.
Polls are showing Biden and Trump are neck and neck in popularity among Wisconsin voters. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers rally for the win. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
The Brewers were 0 for 24 with runners in scoring position.
Then in the bottom of the sixth, Willy Adames was at the plate.
Coverage, Bally Sports, Wisconsin.
That one hit to center. It's pouring down rain now
The ball traveled 448 feet as the crew held on to win 5-4 over the Blue Jays. Adames on the Brewers' five-run rally.
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, the speed guys, they did the job there just to starting everything for us. And after that, we just carried the momentum and, you know, we scored some run for the support for the pitchers there.
The crew with the day off. NBA Celtics win again 106-99 over the Mavericks in Dallas. Boston up now 3-0 in the NBA Finals. NFL Packers wrapping up their three-day minicamp. They'll be back in 5 weeks for the start of the season with training camp. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A clear sky tonight, lows upper 50s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the low 80s. Showers and storms possible again this weekend. Mid-70s Saturday, upper 80s Sunday, with humidity climbing as well. More storms possible Monday, and again, upper 80s. Currently at 75 degrees.
Maggie Dawn.
Coming up on the Maggie Dawn Show, Matt Rothschild's filling in. Biden Top 100, boosting mental health in schools. We also have Luann Bird and Kristen Hanson.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. This is the talk of lacrosse. Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a game.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. All my friends and relatives in four directions. I sounded like an auctioneer there for a second. You are listening to Native Roots Radio, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, what a beautiful day here in the Twin Cities. I was at the Four Sisters Market, and what a glorious day there. And then, Haley, I also stopped into that new restaurant in the Indian Center, the Gatherings.
Oh, wow. Gatherings Cafe.
Yeah, it was crazy. Crazy good. Had a little, I'm eating a lot of bison lately. I hope Wendy's not listening. But I had one of their sandwiches and some chips, some sacred chips and some sacred salsa. And some sacred water, and you know, water's life, and it was awesome. And then I, you know, so close to the Four Sisters Market, it's a block away, so you know, I got my steps in. I was walking back and forth, and you know, looking like a vagrant, but I still made it okay back to the car and back to St. Paul.
Wow, look at you, a baby elder just out there walking the American Indian Cultural Corridor on Franklin Avenue.
Exactly. Let me get that applause button here real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So our friend Robert Lilligren will be hopefully coming on in a little bit, and it was good talking to them. Their things are happening there, and you know, seeing our Ho-Chunk sister who's running the market, and
yeah, Destiny.
Right. And of course, we have that art gallery that's just beautiful. And the Indian Center had an art gallery. I went in and saw at the Indian Center, Charlie, and his store is open and he's doing really well there. So what a beautiful building. And it's a good day to be Native.
Yeah. So, yeah, our listeners out there, the Minneapolis American Indian Center had their grand reopening on May 1st of this year. And they have Gatherings Cafe. They've got, Woodland Indian Crafts is Charlie Stately's store.
Yep.
And yeah, the gallery. I have yet to go to the gallery at the Indian Center, but I'm excited to check that out as well. Was the bison pretty good at Gatherings Cafe?
No, it was really good. It really, really, really was good. And it's funny, too. You know, we're in such a small community here in the Twin Cities, even though we have 50,000 natives in the Twin Cities. But we have a community where we all kind of know each other. And the cook that, and I don't know if that's the right terminology, the chef or maybe the sous chef, I'm not too sure, worked at O'Omni.
Yeah,
and I had her his sister as one of my past students, and he came out and talked to me, and it was really nice. And because I went there when it was kind of slow, because it was like lunch was over, and I stopped in. And it's just cool how we're all connected. And, you know, I've been to O'Omni lately, and, you know, went there by myself and got a good seat. And, you know, I wasn't the guy with the newspaper under his arm mumbling. I was talking to everybody in a good way.
Well, that's good. Yeah. If you haven't been out to O'Omni, they are like a 5-star all native cuisine. And it's amazing.
Yeah, and I hope Robert comes on, because one of the things I wanted to talk to him about, too, is that we were hanging out with Sean Sherman and Sterling Hardrow, who is the main producer and owner of Reservation Dogs. Yeah. And it was really fun hearing his story last night at the Walker Art Center in Minneapolis.
I saw that.
Yeah. And the day before, I was at the food lab in the global market where O'Omni and Sean Sherman have really taken a big space in there. And there were some free hors d'oeuvres. And you know how I like free and hors d'oeuvres. And had a great time. Ran into a lot of people. Ran into a few Ho-Chunks, too, which is always cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Always great to see our Ho-Chunk relatives out in community. I saw... Was Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan was there, right?
Well, she spoke. She was in the audience, and so was her husband, Tom, and her daughter. And after Sterling did his kind of story about, you know, kind of his background, and his background's filled with Minnesota connections.
Oh, cool.
And, you know, they got Dallas Goldtooth, of course, working with them in the 1491ers. And he talked about, and Bobby Wilson, and he talked about how that all came to fruition. And, hey, there's our friend Robert Lilligren, Native American Community Development Institute. And let me try this once, Robert. NACD.
Yay! That's what I'm practicing, Robert.
For people that aren't watching us on Facebook Live, Robert did the death signal for with the handshaking, the applauding. Hey, we were just talking about last night and the last few nights with Sterling and your friend, the Lieutenant Governor.
Oh yeah, that was really something. I apologize for being late. I left the office kind of late, and then on my bike ride home, the chain came off my bike, so delayed me putting that back on. But yeah, that lecture and the conversation last night was incredible. It was so rich.
Yeah, it's fun too. And then there was a like a private meal afterward, and I was begging to find out where that was.
Well, sorry you weren't invited. Some of us just don't quite make the cut. But it was a tiny group. It was like 10, 12 people at Guy Noy, right by Loring Park. And if you haven't been there, I'd highly recommend it. I love that place. Fairly new. Within just shortly after opening, it was named one of the best restaurants in the country by the New York Times. But yeah, talking about Harjo's experience here, and he credited Minneapolis for launching his comedy career.
Mm-hmm.
So he wasn't just blowing smoke. I mean, he had stories to tell. He brought the receipts.
Yeah, good way to put it. And they were very funny receipts too. And I really liked the insight when he was talking about his Uncle Brownie was based on his father.
Yeah. So it's like,
what the hell?
Jeez. Right. I mean, really, it sounds like directly based on him. And then, you know, a lot of the people in Reservation Dogs were his actual family.
Right.
And then a lot of the characters were based on actual family. And so it was kind of a cool, tight circle.
Well, I was hoping that there'd be a little Q&A from the audience, but the Lieutenant Governor did a great job with asking some questions. But one of the things, I don't know if I was talking to you, Robert, but I know, you know, Bobby Wilson stayed at Enda Young and worked at Enda Young. And Dallas Goldtooth worked there too when they were young. And the funny thing is that one episode about cheese being in the home for, you know, Bobby Wilson wrote that. So it was kind of a take off from N.D.A. Young. I wanted to ask about that.
Nice. And for folks who don't know, N.D.A. Young is a housing project in St. Paul that provides shelter and permanent housing for Native youth.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that would have been fun to ask, but hey, we're going to take a quick break here, Robert. And I'm so glad that you made it here and that you're, bike. No. Sorry. Haley and I were talking nonsense. We were keeping the mic warm for you.
Always
appreciate it.
On the topic of res dogs too, I just want to shout out a big happy birthday to Gary Farmer. That was yesterday.
Oh, wow. Cool. We'll have Gary on again. Gary's one of our guests, to our fun guests. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we're here with Robert Lilgren, Native American Community Development Institute CEO and president and all around great guy. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio. Ho wa.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Signing up for $1 bus and train rides with the Transit Assistance Program or TAP is quick and easy. Do it straight from your computer or phone by uploading one of the pre-approved documents listed at metrotransit.org/TAP along with a copy of your ID. We'll mail you a go-to card with a full year of discounted rides. For questions or translation help, call 612-373-3333. That's 612-373-3333.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Development Institute, or NACD, in Minneapolis.
Just showing off there, huh, Haley? NACD, got it.
NACD.
Yeah, good, Robert. And I see you updated the Four Sisters logo. So
thank you for noticing, Robert.
Yeah.
Well, Haley's on top of it. You know me. I take my little nappy before the show, and then I ask her what the show is about. So then
it's a team.
Were you able to take a nap while I was biking against the wind and fixing my bike chain? You were napping?
Yeah, I sneak those in because I don't ride a bike, you know, and I can get around a little quicker. You know, I'm in the capital city, and you're in a bike haven trail there in Minneapolis.
Yeah, it is. It's good to bike.
Well, not only that, you know, I just have to commend you too. When I think of biking in Minneapolis, I think of that project you worked on when you were a city council member, and you know, the underground kind of bike path. What is that called again?
The Midtown Greenway.
Yes.
I actually worked on it before I was a city council member. I was on the board of the Midtown Greenway Coalition that advocated to get it constructed. And then phase one was actually constructed before before I got elected, but then phases two and three came while I was there. And on a big public works project, there's always all kinds of issues that need to be resolved.
Yeah. Well, you know, the state and the local area are lucky to have you. And, and I mean that truthfully, because again, you know, we joke about all the committees that you're on, but if we're not there, we don't have a chair, we need people like you to be not only that experience, but just to be at the table and stand up for Native issues and what's right, because Native issues are human issues and human issues are Native issues.
Oh, and then of course, bringing the next generations in, right? And creating more access. And really, I've just been thinking more and more, it's not really just the next generations, people even of my generation, you know, providing access, coaching people how they can use their voice in a policy environment or to change a system. And yeah, that's kind of what we do at NACTI, right? We're a systems change organization that grounds in community through our projects and programs, like Four Sisters Farmers Market today, which was beautiful. I can't, and All My Relations Arts Gallery, our Make Voting a Tradition. You know,
yeah. Well, it's amazing too. I've been listening to you and we've been talking for quite a few years here on Native Roots Radio. And I feel like in the beginning, it was just like an onion peeling away and all the different layers of what Native American Community Development Institute does. And I mean, I'll even say this, you helped me with my campaign when I ran for office in my tribe. And you do that in a local level and national level, just part of your mission.
Yeah, and not NACTI's mission. That's my own personal personal work. And I enjoy that just because when I first ran for public office and started a campaign, nobody would help me, you know, and especially experienced political people. I was challenging the system and, you know, one or two would be quietly with me away from any kind of public eyes and things. But generally speaking, very few people would help me. And I made the determination then that if I get elected and then I'm going to make sure that I'm sharing what I learn, that I'm bringing other people along, that I'm creating access, especially for BIPOC people, especially for women. And I've done that. And even if I know that I'm very unlikely to support a candidate at the end of the day, if they ask to meet with me and sit down, I'll meet with them. But I'll tell you this, Robert, one of the joys of working with you is that you actually listened to what I said. Not everybody does.
I appreciate that. You know, I think, you know, from my own life story, I've learned the hard way that anyone can learn from their own mistakes. It's geniuses that learn from others. And I'm not calling myself a genius, but you get the vibe.
Very cool. And yeah, so that's something we do. And we may expand some of our work at NACTI. We're in conversations right now to allow us to do more political work. You know, it's kind of a heavy lift to organize that part of a nonprofit, but we've talked about it for years. Some stars are lining up. People in the community feel like NACTI is a place to incubate, you know, this kind of work. And so we'll see where it goes. I'll keep you posted.
That's awesome. And I know from my nonprofit work with other organizations, it's a different, it's like a 403B or something that you become, right?
That it's a C4, 503,
yeah.
C4.
I was close. One of those letters.
Right, close. But there's a ton of difference. You see C7, that's like a business association, but there's a lot of nonprofits. It's an Internal Revenue Service. It's an IRS status. And then it comes very heavily regulated. So as a 501c3, it's still heavily regulated, but it's the sort of lightest touch. But as you go up in the numbers, there's more attention, more regulations. We'll see.
Hey, I want to switch gears real quick. And you know my story of being in recovery since 1984. And part of being in recovery, you know, in a 12-step program, I've been in for almost four, this is my 40th season. been clean and sober for 40 years, is that you need to tell your story, kind of give it away to keep it. And with Hunter Biden writing a book about that, and with that kind of thinking behind it, where he's trying to help people because he's been sober for a few years and help people and tell his story, it was used against him in court. And I just, like, I don't know what the heck. I feel terrible about the whole ordeal.
Right. Yeah, I agree. First, I have to say that. And, you know, he's traveling his road, right? And he's doing what he thinks is right. And he's facing up to his mistakes and crimes. And, you know, this trial was very interesting. You know, you had crimes that normally are not prosecuted standalone. They're generally part of a broader suite of charges, but they kind of were cherry-picked and went to trial. And you have right-wing Republicans, who are sort of adamant for being a gun owner, right? So they're not even defending a gun owner. And, you know, this was supremely politically motivated. If he wasn't the president's son, there's no way he would have faced that trial. But
yeah, I know. And that's where we're at, you know. And in to me, being in recovery, I'd give him a lot of credit in what he did. But again, it was used against him. And that might take pause for other people to really tell their story and try and help people. So it's kind of sickening for me the way I kind of feel and see it.
Right. But I also give credit to you for your road to recovery and the time that you spent. So like you said, you have to give it away to keep it. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but that's really native though too, isn't it? I mean, that's a thing that really fits in our culture, is that how important, and again, back to Sterling, how important his mother was in the community, and how the reservations dogs ended up ending because the kids joined the community and became really a big part of the community at the end.
Right. Yeah, I thought the story told about his mother dragging him to every event on the reservation, you know, and it was really touching in how she'd point out all the people who were related to him were his cousins. Yep. And she'd make him go shake their hands, right? Mm-hmm. So he did that, you know, kind of grudgingly, it sounded like. But then years later, he had this whole network of people that he was connected to, that knew him, that were supporting him, that were helping moving him along his career. I thought that was really touching.
Right. And I thought it was really funny because how they blew up was doing their own thing as a 1491ers. And their first shoot was Bobby Wilson happened to have, because he was working on a mural, happened to have a key in Little Earth, and they went inside Little Earth at night and did it. And they cracked themselves up. That's all they cared about.
Right. Yeah. In 1491s, if folks haven't seen the YouTube videos, go there, see them. They are hilarious. And that's his creative team, right? That's his group that has kind of grown with him in his career.
And I had an opportunity, Robert, to see Between Two Knees. I read a book about Native comedians that came out in 2022. And I got an opportunity to see that. And I didn't really, because I know how kind of crazy those guys are, and especially with the the era of their YouTube videos. But this was a well put together play that was sold out and really had a message, and it was funnier than heck.
You just saw that right recently, wasn't it?
Yeah, they redid it for it had a month run in off Broadway right by the World Trade Center.
When he mentioned it in this lecture hall, you know, several hundred people and everything, Robert Pilot was the only one that started clapping. But he mentioned the play, I'm guessing you were probably the only person in the room that had seen it.
Well, he said it so fast too, but that's funny you caught that. Robert Pilot was clapping like a seal. Well, Robert, I want you to be able to, take care and wash those hands now. And we're going to, I'm going to take off here to my area meeting, but I appreciate you dropping in for the first two segments.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Donald Trump met with congressional Republicans near Capitol Hill for the first time since the January 6th attack.
We have great unity. We have great common sense. A lot of very smart people in this room and a lot of people that love our country.
They included Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell.
He got a lot of standing ovations. It was entirely positive meeting.
The two hadn't spoken since 2021. The G7 nations agreed to a U.S. proposal to back a $50 billion loan to Ukraine using frozen Russian assets. 2 days of torrential rain left up to 2 feet over parts of South Florida. It prompted evacuations and canceled thousands of flights. Federal investigators say a loss of engine power due to poor maintenance caused a 2022 helicopter crash in New Mexico that killed 4 first responders who were returning home from a firefighting mission. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Former President Donald Trump reportedly called the city of Milwaukee horrible in a private meeting with Republican members of Congress on Thursday. People who were in the room offer differing stories, saying Trump was referring to crime or voter fraud in the city, not the city itself. Regardless of Trump's intention, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson fired back the same day.
Donald Trump was talking about things that he thinks are horrible. All of us live through his presidency, so right back at you, buddy.
Milwaukee will host the Republican National Convention in July. About 30% of Wisconsin Medicare recipients up for renewal this year have been disenrolled from their coverage, according to Wisconsin Watch. Covering Wisconsin, a UW-Madison program, is helping people reconnect with healthcare providers and other programs that support health. Call 608-261-1455 or visit their website to book an appointment. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Actor John Goodman says he is not as motivated to work as he was in his younger days. He told Jason Bateman, Will Arnett, and Sean Hayes on the Smartless podcast that he tried to overcome his recent lack of motivation by working too much and nearly caused himself to have a nervous breakdown. 71-year-old Goodman has been sober now for 16 years and recently lost 200 pounds, looking more like actor Aaron Eckhart. No booze since 2008 and no bad food for 200 pounds? How crabby is John Goodman right now? Andrew McCarthy hated the phrase Brat Pack. In his new documentary, he confronts the writer David Blum, who coined the phrase, finally putting to rest something no one has ever cared about except Andrew McCarthy. The Brat Packer insinuated Blum's article more or less branded his career. Blum admitted his condescending attitude toward the young actors was not very nice, but stands by it. Sources have not disclosed who McCarthy blames for his role in Weekend at Bernie's. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A clear sky tonight, lows upper 50s. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, a high in the low 80s. Showers and storms possible again this weekend, mid-70s Saturday, upper 80s Sunday, with humidity climbing as well. More storms possible Monday and again upper 80s. It's 71 right
now.
Finding
the special healthcare resources families need just got easier. Wisconsin Wayfinder, Children's Resource Network, helps kids with delays, disabilities, special healthcare needs, and mental health conditions. Call toll-free 877-947-2929. Ask questions, get answers. Connect today toll-free 877-947-2929. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, I am so excited. We wrap up On the Road with Jane and Todd in my favorite place, Amory, Wisconsin. Make sure you join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by JS Bean Factory, native-owned, off Randolph Avenue in St. Paul. Only the good stuff keeps us awake.
Hey, we're with some groovy people here from Doherty Family College, and I want to talk to the dean here for a second and talk about how fun it is to have former students come back and visit. I think that's what it's all about.
Oh, thank you, sir. That's my happy space to talk about our scholars. That's my whole purpose. I think a mission in life is to be the best educator I could possibly be. And so I'm honored to walk along with Cheyenne and our amazing scholars. And yes, I feel as a teacher, we do our best to try to mentor and guide young scholars, help them on the journey. And not to tell them what to think, but how to think and to challenge us as well. And that's how we grow. But everything I do, I try to make sure it's scholar-centered. And all the decisions we make as a college, whether it's fundraising, developing the curriculum, and we do it with the input of our scholars. DFC, we are stronger and better because our scholars are empowered and they tell us what they need. And we don't try to assume we know what's best for them. We ask them to engage with us and to share what their needs are. And then we ask how we can support them.
Perfect. Hey, Cheyenne, I want to get back to you. Talk a little bit about your past and your history, what led you up to maybe a little bit about your life a little bit, being from White Earth and a citizen of White Earth, and talk about your journey and what got you into the Family College here of Doherty.
So the Native descent comes from my mom. She's probably listening to this right now. She is from White Earth, and it kind of starts from there. Unfortunately, I don't hit the blood quantum specifics to be deemed from White Earth. But I still consider it. I've grown up in Minneapolis. It's where I was born and raised. And I grew up going to Brooklyn Center High School. And Brooklyn Center, it gave me some beautiful memories. Don't get me wrong. I loved it. but I dealt with a lot of bullying and a lot of backlash growing up. And I also dealt with some teachers that did not see any potential in me. So I was constantly, instead of being lifted up and raised, I was being told that I would not graduate. I would be a high school dropout. Don't even think about getting a bachelor's degree, you know, that sort of thing. And I heard about Doherty from actually a guidance counselor at Brooklyn Center. And she really pushed me to apply. And at this point in time, I wasn't sure if college was going to be for me. Like, yes, I passed and I did graduate my high school diploma, and that was a big deal for me. And so this bachelor's degree means so much more. But at the time, I remember sitting there contemplating if this was for me. And I applied to DFC. And when I first applied, I actually got rejected from DFC, which I think is an interesting story within itself. I struggled a lot with core curriculum growing up. So like math, reading, you name it, I struggled. Math was the worst for me. It was one of those classes that I couldn't register. And it was hard. Like, I'm not going to lie, like thinking about it makes me want to cry for myself, because I remember so many of those late nights sitting at the table and I was just lost. But I got through and I applied to DFC, received that rejection letter, and my mom was like, absolutely not, you're not going to take that, you're going to actually reapply. And I was like, mom, are you sure? Like, they kind of already said no. She's like, no, you're going to do it. She really pushed me. I remember one night driving the car and I was just like, mom, I don't think this is for me. And she's like, you can do it. If anyone can do it, you can do it. And I applied and I came back with an army behind me, with like a insane list, like 10 people of recommendations for why I was fit for the program and all of that. And I came back in and I submitted all of that. And DFC was like, you know what? Maybe she does have potential. And I got accepted. And I remember just being so excited and over the moon. And then that's kind of right where I started at DFC. And when I tell people that story, so many people look at me and they're like, that's so strange. Like, I got accepted first try. And I'm like, well, everyone's story is a little different, right? Like, everyone coming to DFC might not have the same experience as me because everybody has a different experience in life. But very fortunate that DFC took that chance on me. And I'm very fortunate to even be at St. Thomas now because of DFC. Like, so much has happened within these last almost 4 years. And a big part of that is because of DFC. They were really the foundation for me to start college. And they really just kept pushing me up and up. And I know that's what DFC's for. That's what they're all about. They're about uplifting their students. And I'm very fortunate to say I was one of those students that definitely have felt uplifted. Like, I never in a million years would I think, oh, yeah, I'm going to be on the radio. No, that's crazy. That's for, like, famous people. So, like, just being here now, like, I wouldn't be here without DFC and without people like Dean Buffy, who sees the importance of a program like this. And I honestly, I can't thank DFC enough for the opportunity.
Well, that's awesome. Before we go any further, I want to just change the subject for a second. And blood quantum is a way to erase us. You are a white earth if you believe you're white earth. And we talk about that a lot here on Native Roots Radio. Blood quantum is a white way to erase us natives. So you are white earth, so don't ever think you're not. I just wanted to throw that out there.
I've struggled with that too, Cheyenne. We've talked about it on the show. My father's enrolled, it's a concept, and it doesn't take away any of that native blood that runs through us every day, and it'll always be there. So claim that and be proud of it.
It's something I've been really working on because, like, in high school, I was constantly told I'm too white, therefore I can't be native. And when I tell people I'm native, they would sit there and try and belittle me and tell me that I wasn't what I am, which was always so weird. So, like, I've kind of dealt with this weird, like, imposter syndrome where, like, I want to accept it, but also it feels like society is telling me not to accept it. And then when I got to DFC, I was like, you know what? Fresh slate. Nobody knows me here. Let me start accepting it. And I never once felt like I was an imposter or like I couldn't accept that side of me. Like, yes, of course, there's always those moments of self-doubt where I'm like, I don't know. But, you know, after experiencing DFC and like having a great support system and like friends that didn't belittle me, instead they would uplift me. I think that right there kind of really helped me kind of battle some of that imposter syndrome that I was feeling previously.
Wow, really good points. And Buffy, I want to jump back with you and talk about, like, you and I have this experience that, you know, bad things might have happened in high school, but I mean, I'm 62 and I don't hang around with anyone I went to high school with. So that's, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. I do, sir. I'm 52 and I agree with you. I only want to say, the Cheyenne gives a lot of credit to Doherty Family College, and once again, I say we are honored and we were blessed to have you as part of our Ohana family. But the foundation that made you who you are, that credit belongs to your family and the amazing community that you come from. We did our part as educators and part of the village and part of the clan to help you explore new opportunities and provide you with some skills and knowledge. But the foundation, the core of who you are, that's divine. And that's from your family and your community. Sir, you know, if your peers are not elevating you, just know that you will soar above them real soon.
Right. And there's that old saying, Dr. Buffy, is that the cream always rises to the crop, to the top. So absolutely. But it's hard. And I'm not minimizing what Cheyenne went through. It's difficult too when you hear so much dark wind and you start to believe it. But we're here, and, you know, it sounds like Daughtry Family College, DFC family, really, really helped support you and open it up to your potential, which is just another word for not doing it.
Yeah, honestly, like, without DFC, I don't even know where I would be right now. Like, every time people ask me, like, will I change anything? It's mostly no. Like, honestly, I wouldn't change how anything happened, because if not, I wouldn't be where I am right now. Without DFC, I wouldn't even be pursuing my bachelor's degree, which is so mind-boggling within itself to think in 2 weeks' time, I will have my diploma in hand. And it's like, that right there is insane to me, as a kid being told what I couldn't do rather than what I can do.
And you mentioned too, which I think is really, really important, that you have a younger sister and that you're leading the way and a good example, not only to her, but relatives and community members and people listening to the show. If she can do it, I can do it kind of thing is really beautiful, because that's how we open up doors with our stories.
Yeah. I remember just sitting down with my sister a year ago, and she was just like, I don't know where I want to go. And we went to the same high school, and obviously she didn't want to follow my footsteps, which I think is fair. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, you got to be a little practical here. You know, all these other colleges want you to come out of pocket and pay X, Y, Z. DFC is free, free, free. And they'll help you minimize that tuition cost a little bit. And I think that right there is just like a no-brainer. Like, obviously I would choose that, and I had to help my sister kind of see that light. And honestly, like, her applying there got her friend to apply there, and now they're both there together. And it's like, see, like, if I didn't go and I didn't start pushing DFC for her, then who knows if she would have actually went.
Wow. Hey, there's more to talk about. This is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break.
Nation. Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
Do you have a personal financial goal, like buying a car, starting a business, saving for college, or investing for retirement? Whatever your goal is, you need a plan. It might seem overwhelming, but like physical fitness, you can gradually improve your financial health step by step. Start by creating a spending plan, improving your credit score, opening a bank account, or finding a trusted advisor. Not sure where to start? Visit mn.gov/commerce/money for more.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Howl!
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl! And here's Wendy with the new sacred animals.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everyone. My name is Hana Jihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis, Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. I have some news here from 20 WCJB. The source is Stan Mills via KKTV by Tony Keith and Emily Van Wright, and this is published on June 11th, 2024. Yellowstone National Park. A recent video out of Yellowstone National Park shows a grizzly bear with five cubs in tow. Stan Mills operates a YouTube channel showcasing wildlife in Yellowstone National Park. On Wednesday, he captured the grizzlies on camera at the Specimen Ridge Agate Creek Trail Junction. Mills called it an extremely rare encounter. Park officials agree. Park staff told KKTV that it's unclear if all five of the cubs are from the same mom or if the grizzly seen in the video may have adopted some of them. Quote, five cubs in a litter are the most we have ever observed in the park, at least from 1959 to present, the period of the park's history we have good records for, Linda Versaces with Yellowstone National Park wrote to KKTV. In Yellowstone, the average litter size for a grizzly bear is two cubs. Approximately 49% of the cubs survive their first year. Visitors should be aware that all bears are potentially dangerous. Park regulations require that people stay at least 100 yards from bears unless safety in your car as a bear moves by. So we'll keep an eye on those mama bear and her cubs to see how they're doing. I'll keep checking in to see if there's new information and let you know about it. 4th of July is coming. I'm going to be talking about this until July 4th. So have your dogs chipped now. Make sure they have their license tags on their collars. Secure your yard. Make sure there's no place they can jump over, crawl under. And please keep them indoors. Even the most well-trained dog gets scared and takes off on the 4th of July. And the 4th of July, statistically, the most dogs go missing on the 4th of July just because of the noise and the sound and the craziness. It really is. One of the things I got Wanda for her collar, it's called a Rome tag. And what it is, I could find her on my phone. So I could see exactly where she is at all times. So I'm really happy that I have her. So she's overly chipped. So she's chipped. She has her chip. She has her tag on her collar that has our phone numbers and names and her name on here. And she also has the Rome tag. So I could go on my phone to see exactly where she is. So I'm happy that I have all of that for her because I don't know what I would do if I ever lost her. It would just be devastating. We did lose a dog once years ago. Our Chihuahua, Mickey, Robert and I were out of town and we had a house sitter and Mickey got out. It was a thunderstorm. Who knows how he got out, but he did. And he was lost, for 24 hours. But it was really, honestly, the worst 24 hours of my life. And I never want to go through that again. So anyway, keep your dog safe. Here's another meme I found that I thought was important. When you see animals in need, please help them instead of hoping someone else will. You are someone. Years ago, I used to feel that way. Like, why isn't anybody doing something about that? Or that's an important issue. I hope somebody's working on that. And then finally one day I was like, well, you're somebody, Wendy, and you could do stuff too. So you need to get involved. So find some way to be involved. And that's why I became a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, because I felt that working on policy and laws and ordinances and getting those things passed in your local area is really important, and it helps animals. So that's why I do it. And there's, no matter where you are in the United States, the Humane Society of the United States has volunteer opportunities. So check it out if you want to do it. I mean, even if you go to your local shelter and, you know, walk the dogs or, you know, go in and, you know, brush the cats or clean their kitty litter or whatever floats your boat, it's always good to volunteer in some way. At least you feel like you're doing something, right? You feel like you're doing something, and anything, no matter how big or small, you know, people are like, well, I can't really get out. I don't have the time to do that. That's fine. If you see a post on Facebook about a lost dog in your area, share it. That's helping. You know, if you have a few dollars to to give to your local shelter or to an organization that helps animals, you know, you could help that way too. So you could foster, foster an animal. That's when you take in an animal, that's not, you know, out of the shelter. They live in your home until they find their forever home. So that's really, a special thing to do. And I really applaud people out there who foster cats and dogs. So here's another little meme that I like. You can't trust every hand you shake, but you can trust every paw. I definitely do believe that. Dogs don't have a mean bone in their body. They're just here to make us happy, I think. Exactly. Here's the new 5-second rule. I've been talking about this. It's not really new, but you need to know it. Place your hand, place the back of your hand on the pavement. If you cannot hold it there for 5 seconds, it's too hot to walk your dog on it. The little paws there can really get blisters, and if it's too hot, that's it. When I walk Wanda, I kind of like always walk on the shady side of the street where there's the most trees, because I don't want her to get hot and damaged or her little paw pads to get burnt and blistered. Here's a thought. Ask a wildlife rehabilitator what they need instead of buying fireworks that terrify wildlife. Robert and I used to always go and see the fireworks every year. We used to go to Stillwater, Minnesota, and watch them over the St. Croix River, and it was like really a beautiful thing. Until I really learned, I didn't know back then, like how these fireworks really affect wildlife. There's little animals that have, you know, squirrels that have their babies and deer that have their babies, and they're in their dens and they just get terrified and they take off. They just sprint and go out of fear. The flight or fight kicks in and they're gone. And then they can't find their way back and their babies, you know, die. Birds flying in the air literally have heart attacks and fall from the sky. And not only that, the fireworks really are just pollutants. It pollutes the ground, they pollute the water, it's the fish eat the debris. It's just really a horrible thing. I really wish that fireworks were banned. I really do. And another thing is that a lot of soldiers with PTSD, this really affects them as well. They have flashbacks and it's just really horrible for them. So anyway, with that, I will give it back to you and Haley. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley.
Hey, thanks, Wendy. You are listening to Native Roots Radio. If you have been listening to the show, you are part of our resistance. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, vote, and free Leonard Peltier now. We'll be back tomorrow.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Capital Times entertainment reporter Rob Thomas on National Movie Night. And as usual, Terry Barr joins us and enlightens us with some fantastic music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.